Father, may your presence fill this place. May your anointing fill this place. May this morning, every person sitting under the sound of my voice, sitting under this atmosphere, may your anointing, may your presence pierce them. May your word speak to them. May the anointing be saturated over them. I pray for open hearts this morning. I pray for open spirits this morning. Fill your people, fill our mouths with your word. Let your Holy Spirit descend upon this place. Let your angels descend upon this place. May revelation come forth for your presence. You are welcome in this place. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. In Jesus' name, give him a hand, church. Give him a hand. Come on, you can do a little bit better, a little bit better than that. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Are you guys having a good morning? I think the spiritual ones are at home today because we're doing a series on how to stop backsliding. So, and it'll help you tremendously. Listen, say these words. Say, I want to stop backsliding. And don't sit religious and think it never happens. It does. If you think you've never backslidden, if you think you've never sinned, or you're not somebody that's sinned, or you don't mess up, listen. The Bible says you are deceived. The one who says he has no sin in, he is deceived. I thought of making a series because I have so many believers, and I know with my own life, listen, with my own walk, when I just got saved, it was about the first 5 months, because there wasn't really anybody that could disciple me properly. For the first 5 months, I kept backsliding. I was on fire. I wanted to get back to God, but then always I would go back to my old friends. And I had this one friend, he was my best friend, and he lived like 2 blocks away from us. And I would all the time want to go to him and want to go and get him saved. And it would not happen. Because I would get to him, and I would sit in his room, and he would begin to talk. And I talk about God, and the whole conversation begins to drop to the floor. And then the next thing, I pick up a cigarette again, and we begin to drink. And they were stronger than me. Are you guys with me? Okay, they were stronger than me. And I didn't get it, and I felt like, and then when I would stay away for 2 weeks, my friends, then my friends would begin to say, are you judging us, Leon, and you changed, you're a different person. But I wasn't mature yet. I didn't understand, and I felt bad when they said that. Then what I would do is then I would get back to them again, but there would be times when I would backslide all the time like this, and then I get back home and I would feel guilty. I would feel condemned. I would think God doesn't love me. I would think God's going to punish me. God, how can God forgive me? Because I keep messing up over and over and over and over until I began to mature a little bit and until I made a decision to cut off certain things from the world. If I was watching, let's say, pornography on a computer, then I would take out a computer. If I was having bad friends, I would cut them off and I would push them away until I could grow to such a place. One man said to me at a time when I was young, he said, Leon, cut out all the friends you have until you grow to such a place where you're so strong, and I promise you they'll come back and look for your help. And I promise you, I've seen it over and over and over again. Are you guys with me? The truth is that Christians backslide. And the truth is, the horrible truth is, they feel... I said we need to do something with this thing. I think just take it down. The truth is they feel condemned. They feel guilty after that happens. And you can be as old as you want or as young as you want yet as a Christian. It happens. Are you guys with me? Hey, we have... I don't know. Unless if we have sinless people here. I don't like sinless people. Okay? Be a sinner. Jesus hung out with the sinners. You want Jesus to hang out with you? Yes. Be a sinner. No, I'm joking. You know what I mean, okay? Having a heart not of right self-righteousness, prejudice, holier than thou. But be somebody that can sit with the sinner and that you know your own sins. You will never be sinless. you might stop listening. Before we can even get into this, let me just explain this. You get sin and then you get sins. You get sin and then you get sinning. They are two different words. We are born in sin. Iniquity. Are you guys with me? But then we do acts. We sin, which is called a transgression. How can I explain it? Let me just see. When we are saved, the sin nature is removed, but the acts and deeds are still there. Are you with me? So now you sin or you transgress, but the nature is removed. Now you feel like you don't want to sin anymore. So now you go and do it and you feel you messed up afterwards. How many of you feel like that? I hope some of you feel like that. Now, that is a sign of your salvation, a sign. There are 10 signs of salvation that I'll still get into one day. But that is one sign of salvation, meaning that when you feel guilty afterwards, you feel bad, it means that your nature has been changed, that the sin nature was removed. But, so we can say, okay, but how, if the sin nature is removed, how can I still sin? Because the question comes to holiness. A lot of people ask me, I know Marie touched on it last week, ask what holiness is. Holiness is simply this. Holiness is being obedient and set apart. It means to walk on the right road, but to be set apart, it's got nothing to do with what I do or what I don't do. It's got everything to do with who I am. Are you guys with me? Let's say, Stefan, stand up. Let's say you are my physical son, if he hits me, even if he kills me, will people say he's no longer my son? No, he's my son. That's who he is. Are you guys with me? He can go out and say whatever and do whatever. He can say, I'm not, Leon is not my father. This, people will say, but listen here, you're his son. What are you talking about? So this is the thing. This is the thing that our holiness is about. Holiness is who we are, not what we do. Are you guys with me? It is who we are. In the same way that the devil, who is the father of lies, he is a liar. His nature is to lie, but yet he can speak the truth. Do you guys understand? If the devil can speak truth, that doesn't make him his nature truth. His nature is a liar. He spoke truth when Jesus was in the desert, in the wilderness, and he quoted scripture to Jesus. Are you guys with me? The devil can speak truth. Now, in the same way we as a sinner, we can sin. But I want to say it like this, we are not a sinner as a sinning nature anymore. When Christ has come in, he has removed that nature. Some of you sitting here and that nature is not removed yet, which means that you have not given your life fully over to him yet. That is why you feel like you're battling with too many things. But when he comes and changes the nature of who you, that sinning nature, you will still mess up and make mistakes. But the sinning nature is now removed. Now you are a holy person, a righteous person, just making mistakes. Are you guys with me? Okay, go with me to Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 1. It's not on your notes. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 1. I hope this topic didn't discourage everyone. Okay. We want to give you a solution and help you, because this is a reality in the body of Christ. This is a big reality. It's not a thing that does not happen to, that is isolated. No. This is a big reality. In the mornings, we teach you the word. In the evenings, we preach revelation. Next week, Sunday, we're going to preach, go tell that fox. And you'll see what will come out there. Hebrews 2 verse 1. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest. Everybody say with me, more earnest. The word earnest there means abundance. Give yourself more in abundance. Heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. I'm going to say it again. Lest we drift away. He says, listen, I want you to give yourself more in abundance to those things that you have heard. What things have you heard? The things of what works you must do. For example, the apostles' doctrine, how they were breaking bread, how they were teaching the disciples. In the book of Hebrews, it is saying, those things that were shared in the early church, give heed to them. more in abundance, which means that there are things that God wants you to get involved with in the kingdom. But he says, I want you to give heed to it more in abundance. Are you guys with me? What does abundance mean? It means I must get so busy with the things of God that I don't have time to do anything else, or I don't have time to backslide, or I don't have time to... I don't know if you guys are getting me. I'm trying to always tell the young people, while they're young, before they are married, try to do as much things, get involved. If you see you're battling with drugs, or you're battling with addiction, or you're battling with backsliding, or this or that, the solution to that is, the devil plays with idle hands. So keep yourself busy with the things of God, and you will see, keep yourself busy with the things of God. You will see within a few weeks, you will just feel you don't have a desire anymore for those things of the world. It's a desire that has to be quenched. Are you guys with me? Play for me like a little bit more strings just gone with the drums. Sorry, this way. Yeah. So, are you guys with me? Okay, say drift away. He said, lest we drift away. I'll get next week into the word drift away. But the word drift away is to go with the current, just drifting. Not paddling against it, not flowing upstream, but just going with the current. Too many people are just going with the current in the world. Are you guys with me? I mean, in Christianity. So let's get to our notes. Hebrews 2 verse 1, I wanted to read that as a base foundation scripture for the whole series. It's not on the notes, and I want us to go through these notes. It's very intensive, it's very good, and I'm not going to be able to do it justice if I leave it alone. What is backsliding? God raised up the prophet Jeremiah at a time when Israel and Judah were about to be taken captive in Babylon. He used Jeremiah to show the people of Israel the backslidden state of their hearts. The book of Jeremiah gives several vivid descriptions of their backslidden state. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, had most of his messages centered around the theme of backsliding. He was often at war with the people of Israel, constantly warning them to repent and change from their wicked ways. The weeping prophet was concerned about the wayward attitude of the people. He repeatedly urged them, "Turn from your wicked ways, stop doing evil, repent and come back to God." He attempted to show them in many different ways what it meant to backslide. Yet the people of Israel and Judah refused to change. Through past experiences, me personally, I have learned that backsliding can be likened to walking on a road with no signboards. In our Christian walk, there are no signboards to warn you that you are backsliding. There is no sign that says hell and destruction 200 meters ahead. There's no such thing. Backsliding happens, say with me, gradually, until you are drawn somewhere you never expected to be. Gradually, but certainly, you slide there. Then all of a sudden, when you're completely gone, only then do you realize. We have the saying, we say that God comes in with a bang, but he leaves silently. God, the devil comes in silently and he leaves with a bang. Devil comes in silently and he leaves you with no house, no car, backslidden state. God comes in with a bang. You're having an encounter, but all of a sudden we can be like Samson, where the Bible says that Samson, while he was sleeping, the Lord departed and he knew it not. Samson, while he was sleeping, got the presence of the Lord departed from him and he knew it not. Are you guys with me? It's like Abraham. Listen, there are people who know God and then there are people who know of God. I'm going to say it again. There are people who know God, and then there are people who know of God. We have done a series on spending quality time with God, which was very good, and people were taught and learned how to spend time. And I spoke to you about the secret place, spending time with God in the secret place, meaning that's where your relationship gets built. That's where you get to know Him. Say with me, know. That's where you get to know Him. There's different words to knowing. God knows us because He knew us. The Bible says, I knew you long before you were even formed in your mother's womb. It is an epignosko. It is a knowing that takes place long before the worlds were already framed. God knew you. You existed. Are you guys with me? Now, if I knew you, If you go read in Genesis, you'll see when Abram, we see Abram and you see three men approaching Abram. Three men approaching Abram. And if you study the word, the Bible will tell you this is the Trinity visiting Abram. God in the flesh standing in front of Abram as three men. Yet Abram had, there are two schools of thought. Some say it's God and two angels. Other ones say it's the Trinity manifested in the flesh. Whatever it might be, it is fine. But Abram stood in front of them and he said, "My God, how have you come to me?" But he said, "My God," as a singular. Yet there was three men standing in front of him. Lot, when he was saved from Sodom and Gomorrah, two of those were sent to Lot. And Lot said, "My Lord, please save me." I want you to get this. He could not discern who is who. Yet Abram had the ability to discern which one is God. Which one was God, which one was his son, which one was the Holy Spirit, or which one was God and which one was the two angels. Are you guys with me? But Lot did not have the ability to discern. In fact, the word Lot means to be blinded without perception. Because you will see, as long as what Lot is with Abram, Abram could not see far. But when Lot was removed from Abram, that's when God said, "Abram, lift up your eyes, and as far as you can see, I will give it to you." Are you guys with me? Our limitation is that our eyes have been blinded by a lack of perception and we cannot see. And that is why we're not entering into a place. I said something in the School of Mentors. I said, successful people will always tell you they are where they always imagined themselves being. Unsuccessful people will tell you they are where they always feared to be. I'm going to say it again. Successful people will always tell you they are where they imagine themselves always to be. Unsuccessful people will tell you they are in living exactly what they've always feared is going to happen. Because Job says, "The very thing I have feared has come upon me." Are you guys with me? So let's get back to backsliding. So that God comes in with a bang, but he leaves silently. The devil comes in silently and leaves with a bang. When people backslide, when they drift away, and please, the drifting is like this, and I'll get into maybe a little bit next week. It's like you're on a boat, but you feel like you're still going forward. How many of you have been on a little boat, and there's a current moving your way, and you think you're going that way, but you're being blown that way. It's a current that is taking you away. When you drift as a Christian, you think you're still on the right path. You think everything is okay. You tell everybody, "Everything is okay. I know what I'm doing. Everything is good." And when you realize the current has taken you completely out. Are you guys with me? So it's like swimming in the ocean. You can swim and swim and you think you're fine. And all of a sudden you realize the current has just taken you out to the back or way to another place. It is drifting away. Amen? So backsliding is real and can be analyzed by studying the different forms of backsliding described by Jeremiah, the prophet. The prophet used real life situations to describe this very common spiritual phenomenon. It's a common occurrence in the Christian world. Matthew 20 verse 16 says, "For many are called." Say with me, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but there's only a few who step into the place and the appointment of being chosen. Okay? "But he who endures to the end will be saved." Matthew 10 verse 22. Many who come to Christ can later fall away. That means that even you and I can backslide. Many people frown at the statement and say to themselves, "I can't see myself backsliding." This very attitude shows that you're prone to backsliding. Listen, I want us to get into the psychology of backsliding. It's on your next page at the top. The psychology of backsliding. The psychology of backsliding deals with the way backsliders think. It deals with attitudes of defecting Christians. You see, the Bible says, Proverbs 4 verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs forth the issues of life." Say with me, "Keep your heart." The word "keep your heart" there in the Hebrew means to guard your heart. And it has a Hebrew image what means to place a garrison. A garrison is like a whole army around your heart. Lest something moves, something goes out of place, you can kill it immediately. Guarding your heart. Are you guys with me? When people hurt you, when people reject you, when people do you in with deals, whatever it might be, keep your heart. Guard your heart. Amen? So I want us to look at attitudes. Listen, I want us to look at attitudes. Backsliding is one of the issues of life. The issue of backsliding comes from the heart. A thought in the heart becomes an attitude. An attitude becomes an action. And these actions become behavior patterns. Let's look at the attitudes that form in the heart of the backslider, giving them false confidence in their backslidden state. You know, there are certain signs. Are you guys with me? Let me just see if I have that, or is that for next time? There are certain signs of backsliding. One of them is overconfidence. The thing is, if the church doesn't know how to deal with it effectively, if we don't preach grace in the right way, if we don't preach revelation and where people can be felt, they're set free, and we just preach condemnation, what happens is people begin to come to church with a mask on, acting as if everything is okay. But there's an element of realness. There's an element where you can just be, where you can take off a mask. Before you can even become rich, you have to admit, I am poor. Because if you keep thinking you're rich, you're never going to become rich. You have to admit, okay, I don't have money. Let me go work. Let me go do something. So the Bible says we call the things that are not as if though they are. We don't call the things which are as if they are not. We don't say this sickness is not there. No. Say I am healed and say I receive life. But you don't say I don't have the sickness. That was one of the most incredible keys to confession. I know it's like, if some of you are thinking, okay. A lot of people will go into name it, frame it, claim it type of preaching in Christianity. And they would lose focus. And then they just miss it. But if you, the Bible says, we call forth those things. We walk by faith and not by sight. We call forth those things which are not as if though they were. Okay, so what don't you have in your body? Health. What don't you have in your body? Life. You call that in. You don't call these things that you have as if they were not. I don't stand in your blind and say, I am not blind. I am not blind. No. Say, I can see. I can see. There's a difference. Are you guys with me? So anyway, I want to come by hypocrites. So we've seen people with masks on, incredible masks, that when the mask comes down, or when it gets broken down, and usually with my experience, it's like 2 to 3 years, then serious masks comes down. When I work with someone closely, 2 to 3 years, then all of a sudden you find out all the stuff that's going on in their lives because they lived under a mask. But it's only the prophetic anointing that can pierce that thing or that can see it. Are you guys with me? Okay. You seem tired, or you seem to not like the subject, or you seem to like it too much. I don't know. Say, I'm going to stop backsliding. Okay, attitude number one. This is the attitude, the psychology of a backslider. The psychology. Attitude number one. We find out, attitude number one is, I'm not the only one. And I know you've thought that before, okay? But Lord, I'm not the only one smoking that cigarette. I'm not here to judge on sins. And if you know me, and if you're close to me, you will know that I say, if somebody sleeps with a prostitute, or somebody else goes and gets drunk, it's the exact same thing. If somebody goes and have pride in the church and begins to gossip, that is actually worse. Are you guys with me? Okay. So, attitude number one, I'm not the only one. We find out who else in this condition to ours. We always find others with the same condition to ours and use them to justify ours and our sinful state. But the Bible says, every man shall bear his own burden. You may take confidence in the fact that others seem to be doing as bad as you are, but that is a false assurance. Don't be deceived by the existence of a crowd. You may think that everybody is sinning just like you are, but when Jesus comes, you'll be very surprised to find whom you thought would go to hell well with you, passing you by on their way to heaven. Do not look at the crowd. You were born alone and you will die alone. Attitude number two, the attitude of a backslider. Attitude number two, I have time. Jesus isn't really coming soon. The world is truly amused when we say that Jesus isn't coming, but Jesus is coming soon. They think it is a theory cooked up by some deranged person. On the other hand, some Christians know that Jesus' second coming is a reality, but they think that it won't happen very soon, at least not in their lifetime. They suppose they can enjoy themselves, forget about themselves. How many of you know that the Bible says the Lord will come as a thief in the night? A pregnant woman who is due might be all right one moment, and the next moment she may go into labor, suddenly severe pain striking, and the baby is born. The return of Jesus will be likened to this. Everything will be all right one day, and the next, total chaos in the world. Many of us have taken God's grace period and repentance for granted. The grace period has rather become more time for some of us to play the fool. How many of you know, listen, in the New Testament, Paul, 2,000 years ago, Paul said in the New Testament, he even believed there that Christ's coming is soon, is going to be in those days. Are you guys with me? That's how close it is in comparison to eternity. And so that means that if he said it 2,000 years ago, one of the top scholars, he's been to the third heaven. He had so much heavenly encounters that he was not allowed to write and say certain things that he experienced in heaven. That man had such encounters, such heavenly experiences, spoke to Jesus face to face after his death, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, Jesus' coming is soon. It'll be like a thief in the night. Are you guys with me? The Bible says one will lie next to another and they will see that the other one is away. The two will walk up a hill and the one will be taken away and the one will be left behind. It speaks of the rapture. Attitude number three, there are shortcuts. Some people might say there are shortcuts to get to heaven. The world is under the delusion that there are shortcuts to everything. Unfortunately, some Christians think in the same way. They assume that there must be some shortcut to heaven. Once there seems to be a shortcut to almost everything else. But there is only one way. The Bible says the kingdom is like a mustard seed, which needs time to grow up to become a great tree. When you put the seed into the ground, you will need to go through the long process of dying and growing before yielding fruit. Unfortunately, some of us want to escape the process of dying and growing up. Attitude number four of a backslider. God loves me too much to punish me. That is a big one. I've heard Christians say this many times before. They quote, for God so loved the world that they argue that since God loves the world so much, he will not destroy them. They say, I know God will forgive me. Because of this, they add sin to sin without flinching. Attitude number five. I have more time. I'm not going to die soon. People think that because they are young, they still have a lot of time. They also think that they have enough of their lives ahead of them to sort things out with God. It is not safe to assume that there is more time. The Bible warns us that because we don't know the day or hour when Jesus will come, we must be ready at all time. The key words here are preparation and readiness. Don't put off your godly obligations because you think you're still young and there's more time. You never know when God will summon you to account for your life. Let's look at what causes people to backslide. And when we're going to get into angels, it's going to be a powerful series, I'm telling you. Sorry, my mind is in October now. Let me just get back. Yeah. I think we'll do that. I think we'll do that. Because it's powerful. There's things that people don't know. When Jesus was on the cross, and he said, can I not pray now to my Father? And he will send 12 legions of angels to you. The word send is not sent. It is present and provide. Difference between that is, I can send someone to someone, or I can present someone to someone and just put them standing here. The fact that they are presented means there's something on our part we must do to get them working. Are you guys with me? So he said, my Father can present 12 legions of angels to me now. Then I can get them to work. People don't know how angels work. It works through words, through attitudes, through sensitivity, through speaking the word of God. The Bible says that the holy angels give flight and they give heed to the word of God. Are you guys with me? Imagine how if one angel can destroy 180,000 people in one night, how much two or three can do who is given to you. Some of you might have one, some of you might have four. Are you guys with me? Some of you need 10, but listen. So we'll get into angelic says, and whenever we preach, we always trust God for a demonstration of that. So if we preach Rayon, we demonstrate Rayon. I demonstrated Rayon for you in 1 week. Are you guys with me? You can laugh, people. It is okay. I'm just very relaxed and, you know, it is okay. Attitude number five. I have more time. I'm not going to die. We have done this one. I'm not going to die soon. These are the five attitudes of a backslidden Christian. I want us to close off with the following. Just quickly, this is very important. And then we'll go home and we'll see you tonight. And tonight is going to be very, very good. I saw something in the Bible that I've never, ever, ever seen in my life. That's what we call revelation. If I get something straight from heaven and then God moves in that way. So, shallowness. Say with me, shallowness. These are the primary causes of a backsliding Christian. A primary causes of the backsliding Christian is, I'm just going to go through them quickly. If you see somebody backslide, it is because of one of these things. First one is shallowness. Luke 8:13 says, and these, they have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. The parable of the sower gives various reasons why some of the seeds could not grow. Some seeds could not grow because they fell on rocky soil. Jesus explained that these are the ones who receive the word of God with joy. These are the ones, listen, that come into our church and jump up and down on Sunday nights and they receive it and they claim it and they fall on the floor, but then they go back home and they get into temptation, they backslide. There's no root yet. We have a discipleship system in place to begin to get a root into people. It is not perfected yet. We're only a few months old. Are you guys with me? But that makes you to be deep-rooted. Be somebody that is not shallow. That when you speak, somebody can say, that person is deep. It doesn't say shallowness. So these are the people there by the bald piece in the middle. It says they're having no personal experience with God. These are the people who can never say, God spoke to me. They have no convictions of their own. Many Christians who are not rooted in the sound biblical doctrine can easily be persuaded to follow fables. Some born-again believers fall away because they don't know the difference between the true gospel and beliefs of sects, like Jehovah's Witnesses and etc. You know, listen. Let's go to point number two. Let your roots, say with me, let my roots grow deep. Let your roots grow deep. Don't worry about going tall now. Let your roots grow deep. Are you guys with me? Emptiness. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 1. The word emptiness, that's the second one why Christians backslide. I am no better than an echoing bronze or the clash of cymbals. The word echo in the scripture comes from the emptiness we'll discuss in this point. There are many Christians who walk around empty, full of nothing. We call them airy-fairy Christians. They have little or no word in them. If I have to ask, let's say, maybe I'll do it with my team. If I'll have to ask, tell me where's the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Tell me where's the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Tell me what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Tell me where is the scripture tell me where's the scripture for that we are a new creation, new creature in the Bible. Tell me where's this? Tell me where is that? Tell me where is the woman with the issue of blood? What did she say? To test if people are full of the word. It is not prayer that'll make you not shallow. It is the word that'll make you not shallow and not empty. Are you guys with me? Again, if this word has the ability to frame the foundations of the earth together and hold it together, how much more power does it have to change your life? It is the truth, spoken word. I remember when I used to cast demons out when I was young, I didn't know how deliverance was supposed to do. People would come into my room, I would lay my hands and we'll begin to cast demons out and do deliverance for hours on those people. I was young, I was 1 year in the Lord. And we would do deliverance upon deliverance. I was just in love with God, but I didn't know what to do. Then I'd take my Bible, I'd begin to read scripture, and the demon would scream, and I'd read more scripture. Then I'd go to Revelation 21, and I'd read the future of the devil to himself, and then the demon screams more. But there's power in the word. Are you guys with me? That was a weak hand clap for your mother and your law, but for Jesus, and I never told you to clap, so if you want to clap, do it better. Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand. Say with me, emptiness. Say it again, say emptiness. They have no word in them, nor are they filled with the Holy Spirit or love. They might even speak in tongues, but the Bible explains their tongue to just be making a lot of noise. Emptiness will attract other things to fill that empty space. A spiritual vacuum will be filled with spiritual things, either positively or negatively. Luke 11:25 says, When an evil spirit comes, he findeth it unoccupied. He finds a place, he finds a body empty. Empty Christians are targeted by the enemy. The devil will try to fill you with evil and backsliding tendencies because of the emptiness within you. As you see in the below verse, Stephen was full of something positive. That is why he did not backslide, but went on to become a great evangelist. Empty Christians are loud and noticeable, but not substantial. Every Christian should be filled with the Spirit, with love, and with the Word. Fill your time with church activities. Get busy with God. Get busy with serving. If you don't fill your life with these good things, something else will fill it. Lust is the other one that will make first people backslide. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. For Demas hath, Paul is saying to Timothy, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved, say with me, loved this present world. He said, Demas has forsaken me. God is saying, listen here, Demas, that one has forsaken me and backslid him because he loved the world more than what he loved me. Demas loved the world, which is why he deserted Paul. If you love someone, you will eventually gravitate towards that person. Just as a young man who leaves a mother and father for someone she loves, a young woman. If you love the world, it's money, it's women, it's men, it's glitter or glamour, then you will find yourself gravitating towards these things. To lust after something is to have a strong, excessive desire for it. Usually it is an uncontrollable, sometimes obsessive desire for a particular thing. One dictionary calls lust an animal desire. Be wary of all forms of lust. Lust corrupts. The fourth key, and this one is for me one of the most important almost, is bitterness. Say with me, bitterness. Hebrews 12 verse 15, lest any root of bitterness springing up troubling you. Bitterness is speaking of offense. People who take offense, the biggest thing that I've seen of backsliding Christians is they've taken offense. And every person that have taken offense, I've seen them backslide. Are you guys with me? Many people who walk out of a church are offended. Christians who become bitter, they were probably genuinely offended, but their wounds would never heal. Were never healed. Many Christians and pastors allow their hurts. Many Christians and pastors allow their hurts to degenerate into unhealed, gangrenous wounds of the heart. They separate themselves from other Christians in the name of being cautious and not wanting to be hurt all over again. This separation eventually leads to total isolation from the body of Christ, into backsliding. I have noticed that there are many believers who have been walking the Christian walk for many years. They have become disappointed, disillusioned, and unforgiving. I have watched as great ministers who once affected the whole nation became isolated and cut themselves off. Listen, do you guys, can you give me 5 more minutes? Let's go to point number 5. Backsliding love. Married couples also backslide in their relationships towards each other. They start out with hot, strong, and fiery love, which is often blind and unseeing. However, many couples after years of marriage either just coexist or even hate each other. How did they backslide from love to hatred? Often the hurts and offenses of marriage were never fully resolved until they were virtually cut off from each other. This one of the favorite tricks of the devil. If he can isolate you through hurts, he will have the opportunity to speak to you and make you backslide. You see, you are more vulnerable when you are isolated because then nobody can correct you or help you. Sinfulness is the sixth one. We almost finished. Sinfulness. Proverbs 1 verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent them. Many of those who walk out of church and backslide had often been living in sin. This is the other thing. I've seen people, offense comes easier when they have sin in their lives. When Christians practice sin, we come to church, and I've seen people on my team, I've seen people, I've discipled people, sometimes people think they can fool me, and I wonder if they forget I'm prophetic. I'll be sitting and looking at them, I'll be seeing the first thing in the prophetic that you see. I told you, some woman was not happy with me with that, but the first thing I see in the prophetic is someone's sins. It doesn't mean I judge them or I even speak on it or call them out on it. It's just that's the first thing that comes to a person. Then after that you see other things. And many times my team and people I've discipled over the years, sometimes I can see them lying right in front of me right now, lying, like flat out lying. And I'm like, oh. And it's like, I cannot tell them. I have to let them hang themselves and then come into a place where they see they made a mistake. Then I can only help them. But I've seen people being in a lifestyle of sin. Then it's easier to take offense. Are you guys with me? So say with me, sinfulness. So address the sin in your life. Correct the mistakes. Deal with every evil thought. This will keep us from backsliding. Point number 7. Without truth. Say with me, without truth. Proverbs chapter number 6 verse 16 says, these 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, 7 is an abomination to Him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A lying tongue. Liars are compared to wicked people who shed innocent blood. They are born again Christians who habitually lie through their teeth. They lie to God and to man without battling an eyelid. Ephesians 6 verse 14 says, stand your ground with truth for your belt. Okay, so the belt of truth holds the whole armor together. Truth, honesty, and sincerity are things that hold your entire Christian life together. Without sincerity, your Christian life will disintegrate and you will backslide. Demons can gain access to believers' life through lying, through having the belt of truth loose. Are you honest? Are you sincere? When you make a mistake, do you admit it easily? Are you truthful to yourself and to God? Sadly, there are many people who lie to themselves continually and tell themselves, I am okay, when they know they are not. Do not deceive yourselves. Be straightforward. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Don't be angry when you hear the truth. It is the truth that you need. The second last point I want to get to is rebellion. So through rebellion. There's one sin, and I'm reading through those because if I'm going to talk, I'm going to go off and I don't want to waste time. There is one sin which is compared to witchcraft in the Bible. That is the sin of rebellion. 1 Samuel 15 verse 23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When we as ministers, we have a certain language, we talk it like this. If we see, we'll sometimes say there's witches in the service. Well, I would say somebody is a witch. It's because they have rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And disobedience, stubbornness as the sin of disobedience. Are you guys with me? Rebellion is like witchcraft. What is rebellion? To be obstinate, to defy an instruction given. Let's say I say to Stefan, please can you go stand by the door? And he's like, no. That's rebellion. That's the sin of witchcraft that comes in. As a weak leader, I'll be like, oh, no, it's fine. Let me ask somebody else. Can you please go do that? I'm a weak leader because I allow now rebellion and witchcraft to foster in him. Now that devil is going to feel comfortable to say something to me the next time. Are you guys understand what I'm saying? Christians are so easily affected by these small things when they don't have knowledge of it, when they don't understand. The whole main thing in this whole series that we're doing is this. Guard your heart. Say with me, guard my heart. It means place a garrison around, put armed forces around your heart. And if anything in there moves, kill it. If anything wants to come out, destroy it. Heal that thought. And these are things sometimes we'd say, no, but you know, I must follow my heart. The Bible says our heart is wicked, evil, and deceitful above all else. Follow your spirit. Are you guys with me? If I follow my heart, I know we say, but I followed my heart. Many people confuse their heart and the voice of the spirit because it's intertwined. But our hearts is evil, deceitful, and wickedness. Jesus says, murders, thieves, lying, all these things, they come out of the heart. They are what you speak, and what your mouth is full of, your heart is full of. Are you guys with me? What comes out of your mouth, your heart is full of. So it is not what a person eats or drinks that makes them defiled. That's what he's trying to say to the hypocrites. He said, but it is those who speak murderous, hypocrisies, lying. These things come out of the heart. For what the mouth speaks, the heart is full of. If I hear somebody speak the whole time about this one person, I know their heart is full of that person. Maybe they have an offense, maybe something happened. If I hear somebody speak the whole time against the church, or I hear somebody speaking the whole time about clubbing and partying, and that's all they can speak about, their heart is full of that. Are you guys with me? So rebellion. So it says the sin of Israel. Rebellion is a fight against all authority. Rebellion often camouflages itself as the fight for independence. Many so-called freedom and independent fights are actually downright rebels. There are many rebellious elements in the church. There are rebellious pastors who break out of their rightful position as branch pastors, assistant pastors, and etc. There are rebellious church members who break out of their God-given place within churches. I assure you, rebels usually have their spiritual reasons for things they do. They're always spiritual. Usually your spiritual people are rebellious people. Rebellion stems from the heart, and every rebellious child of God has rejected legitimate authority in his life. The result, therefore, is backsliding. I have known Christians who do not want anything, or be it human or divine, to instruct them concerning their lives. Rebellion is a cardinal factor in the backsliding phenomenon. It was rebellion against his father's authority that led the prodigal son to leave home. The rebellion in the prodigal son's heart led him to eat with pigs. I am sure you don't want to end up eating with pigs. Don't be a rebel. All rebels are destined to end in one way. Ask the prodigal son, ask Judas, ask Absalom, and ask Lucifer to tell you what happened to them when they rebelled. Are you guys with me? Foolishness, say with me, foolishness. We will preach a message, morons in the church. That is foolishness. Proverbs 28 verse 26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Many Christians do foolish things. They venture into places only fools would dare. There are some situations and some people who will lead you into trouble. Foolishness has a price. Or, you know, the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23. I want to close off with this. Say this with me. Say, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. When I make decisions in relation to my Christian life, what I can or what I cannot do, what I am allowed or what I am not allowed to do. I said to somebody on the internet, I said, to what measure do we put God's voice? Because to one person, God says they can drink. To another person, God says they can sleep around. To another person, God says divorce is okay. To what measure do we measure God's voice? Where do we say it's okay? We can say the word of God, but people can twist it to their own desires. Are you guys with me? But there's a scripture that I use for myself. Paul is saying that all things are lawful. I can go watch me. I'm 18 years old. I can go watch a movie with 10 naked women. I can do it. It's legal. Are you guys with me? But it's not beneficial for my spiritual life. I'm going to walk out there with all these demons on me. I'm going to feel like, oh. Like that. You know, after you backslide, you're like, and you don't want to look Christians in the eyes. You don't want to come to church. Because when light disappears, the Bible says that when we are in the light, we can fellowship with one another. But when we are in darkness, we cannot fellowship with one another. So when you feel you don't want to come to church, you don't want to be with Christians or be with Christian friends or that thing, you must know that you have backslidden to a certain degree. Are you guys with me? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand. I hope you guys enjoyed a little bit of the introduction. Did you get something out of it? Amen. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Let's close. Let's raise your hands to the Lord. And as you're just standing with your hands raised, I know that tonight is going to be great. We're going to move. God is going to move. And we're going to focus on a thing that I'm going to show you, what stops us from getting into greatness. And you'll be shocked when you see that. Father, may your presence, may your spirit come upon every person in this place. May your anointing be upon this word. May their hearts be open to receive this word this morning. May you bring us back tonight. May you move with the sound of angels. May you move with revelation. May you move in this place with your glory and with your presence. May you touch your people. May they encounter God. May they encounter you at a newer, greater height, a greater depth, greater understanding. May you bring a knowledge about who you are and who we are, that we may humble ourselves before you. I pray for your holiness to fill this place tonight. Your holiness, revelation, come and touch your people. To you belongs all the power, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Come on, give him one more praise offering, church.